Good morning, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. It truly is. What a blessing that that we have this family, that we have this time that we can gather and encourage and comfort one another. There's nothing else like it. It truly is such a blessing. Let's turn to Psalms this morning. And my phone's not telling me where it is, but it is in Psalms, trust me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This morning, as we've gathered, just before we came out here, Michael, in his prayer, mentioned, you know, praying for the church and everybody that's gathered this morning, all over. And it kind of hits me in the heart. I know that there's been a time when I traveled a lot and moved around a lot. And I knew everywhere I went, I had family. And this morning, we're gathered here. We're gathered as a family. And it truly is a blessing. I hope that this morning, as we've gathered and we go to our Lord and offer him songs of praise and prayer and study his word, that we get just that little bit of what it's like whenever he comes back, when we get to be in his presence. When all of his people are gathered together to serve and worship and praise, we get that little taste of heaven this morning. And what a blessing and how thankful I am. And I hope that you are as well, that we get to experience that weekly when we gather. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for sending your son. Thank you for your love, your boundless love, your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the way to salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and the burdens that we no longer carry. Lord, we gather this morning as a family, as your church and your people, as your soldiers, to serve you, to worship you, to constantly dedicate our lives daily to you and your service. Lord, we just pray that this morning that our minds will be clear and focused, that our hearts will be fully open, that we will put away the cares and the burdens, that we will hand those over to you, and that we will give you all the praise and the glory that is rightly due to you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit that dwells in us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. Come, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Morning, everyone. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14. And the Lord works through Michael to give me verses that mean a lot to me. If you guys ever get up in the morning wondering why, God reaches out and touched you. He asked you to be his. You know, we don't deserve it. I know the time in my life when he reached out and got me. He saved me and probably a lot of other people a lot of heartache. So this one's going to tear me up. So bear with me and we'll get through it. Thank you so much. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed, the Father, our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespassing, and according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fulfillment of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to praise of his glory, and him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee for our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Thought of that one just gets me. Would you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for a wonderful day, for gathering us here in your presence to give us your word, remind us of the promises that you made us, and give to us freely. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, even though we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 29. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Let us pray. Dear God, as we take this bread, which symbolizes the body of your Son that was beaten and hung on a cross to give us hope of forgiveness of all of our sins and hope of a life with you after death, here on earth. As your scripture says, let us examine ourselves. Let us look inward and let us take this cup or this bread in a manner that's pleasing to you, in a manner that's worthy of that sacrifice. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. As we continue this Lord's Supper, this time of reflection, and let us take our minds back to the cross where the blood was spilled, and that we can partake in it through baptism and get the gift of eternal life that comes only through you. Let us take this cup from the right mindset. Let us always be mindful of what it means for our salvation. We ask this through your Son's sacrifice. Amen. Lord, everything we have in this life comes from you and is of you. Let us remember that as we give back. Give us cheerful hearts, knowing that this is going to spread your word and bring good news to someone who may not have heard it yet. Let those who are in charge of the finances here, give them cheerful hearts. Give them generous hearts, and let us do as you've told us to do, to go and spread your word. We ask all this through your Son. Amen.
Place that's called heaven is made for the pure and the free. We've chosen God's words he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, nor wishing or elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Please be seated.
Church, it's good to see you today. I tell you what, I'm not usually a jealous man, but I love my wife enough to say that this morning I am jealous. Yes? Thank you. Thank you. That's how much I love her. I am jealous of Burley and Fern Bigham because tomorrow they are celebrating 69 years of marriage. Praise be to God for that. And I did ask Burley, I said, is the year 69, is that a big celebration? He goes, no, we got to wait till 70. I said, all right, well, give him something to live for and look forward to. So we just pray that God blesses you with 70. Oh, they are a great example of love, of patience, endurance, and faithfulness. Oh, we love you guys, and we are very grateful that God has given you so many years and given us so many years and given all your family members so many years. So we are grateful for you. We are grateful for you. I'm grateful for all of you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. It's good news. It's good stuff. And if you don't mind, we're going to have fun while doing it. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a most beautiful day. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for saving us from our sins. We thank you for allowing us to commune with Jesus. Father, you have given us a spiritual reality in which we partook of the body and blood of Jesus Christ with him. Father, you have made it so that we are in your presence. That we, through the Spirit, by faith, are living our lives, are offering our worship to you before your very throne. And Father, this humbles us, this excites us, this blows us away. Father, this morning, I offer prayers for Burley and Fern. I thank you for them. I thank you for their faithfulness in your kingdom, for their faithfulness in their marriage, for their faithfulness as parents and being grandparents and great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. I thank you for blessing them, and I just ask your continued blessings upon them. Father, I just pray that you bless all of our marriages to be faithful. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we take a look at your word, I pray that you pierce our hearts, that you remind us of our first love for you. I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, because your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Your ideas are better than our ideas. Your ways are greater than our ways. Your good is greater than our good. And I pray each and every day, Father, we work hard just to find it. Until Jesus returns and brings us all to you. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Wednesday night, we took a look at Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is speaking to the churches. And he starts with the church in Ephesus. And he says, and I think we can all relate to this. He says to the church in Ephesus, he says, look, you guys are just fantastic. He said, you are faithful. You do not give up. You endure hardship. In fact, when difficult times come, you buckle down and you just have resolve in your faith. He says, you guys are so fantastic that you can spot a false teacher like that. And you're not afraid to stand up and say, no, that is not right. That's not what God says. So Jesus commends this church and says, you guys are hanging in there, you're being strong, and you're holding on to truth. And he says, but I got a problem. I got a problem. Do you find that easier? You know that that's a leadership tactic, that when you need to deliver bad news, you give them the good news first, so they're feeling good about themselves before you just completely crush them. I think it's a dirty trick. If I've done something wrong, just tell me. Just tell me so I can fix it. But you got me feeling all warm and fuzzy. And then, boom, you just smash me. And Jesus says, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you, and here it is. You've lost that loving feeling. Jesus says, I don't feel special anymore. He said, I want to feel like anniversary one. Now, I know in our marriages, after a certain number of years, maybe we don't do the things we used to do. Just like our Christian walk, after a certain year, number of years, maybe we don't do those things that we used to do. And Jesus says in Revelation 2, that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. He tells the church in Ephesus, repent. You better change your ways. And he says, if you don't, I'm going to remove you. If you don't want to be with me, then you're not going to be with me. If you don't love me as much on this day as you did on that first day, then I have no use for you. And I got to be honest, church, this message just hit me. It just hit me, and I realize how easy it is for us to continue to do the things that we know are required and that we like to define as faithful. We will stand up for truth. We will not give up when the going gets tough. We will be faithful to God. And yet over time we lose that initial excitement, that love. I got to be honest, I have Kevin read scripture for us once a month because I need to hear Kevin's voice break when he reads God's word. I need that. I need that. Because Jesus found Kevin later in life than me. And Kevin, for me, is that example of this is what a broken and contrite heart looks like. And he helps me remember my first love. Well, this morning, we're going to go to Luke's gospel. Let's go over to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to follow Jesus in Luke's gospel this morning, and we're going to take a look at a couple stories that hopefully are going to spark that love in our hearts once again. We are going to see people encounter Jesus for the very first time. We are going to see them changed. So that you and I, when we think of Jesus, we will love him and appreciate him and adore him just as we did that first day when we came out of our baptism. Because that's what he wants. Anybody can follow rules. God sent his son so that we would be close once again. Luke chapter 7. Let's start in verse 1. After he had finished all his sayings, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him. He loves our nation. He's the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Turning to the crowd that followed him, he says, "Look, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Church, do you remember when you were a new Christian and the authority of Jesus was absolutely everything to you? When nothing else mattered, Jesus said it, that's it. You know that old bumper sticker? It was popular for a while. "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Yeah, that was a popular one for a few years. The only problem with that was that whether we believe it or not, guess what? God says it, that settles it. Church, when we were new Christians, the authority of Jesus was all that mattered. That was it. That was it. Nothing else mattered. God's word was everything. He is the bread of life. In His words are truth. And in His words we are set free from all the shackles of sin and death and every system in this world that wants to hold us down and keep us away from our Creator. And this man, he's got a sick servant. He sends for Jesus. And Jesus has seen fit to come. He's on his way and he says, look, I get authority. You don't have to bother yourself with me. You just say the word. You remember that kind of faith? You remember that kind of faith that you prayed, Lord, just say the word and it's going to be fine. Lord, just say the word and that's all I need. Yeah, that was young faith. We get to a certain point and faith is like, all right, Lord, I really need you to show up on this one. I mean, I've been faithful. I've done my part. But I need you here. I have a sick servant or a sick family member. I'm sick myself. I've got a problem and I need you to fix it. So show up. Something got lost along the way, didn't it? It did. It did. Church, our first love, remembering our first love is remembering who it is that we serve. He's the one that says go and we just go. He's the one that says come here and we just come here. He's the one that says do it and we just do it. He is the one with authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that the confession you made? It's a confession I made. He is Lord. He is master of my life. My spouse is not master of my life. My kids are not master of my life. My job is not master of my life. My hobbies and pastimes are not master of my life. My money and my government, my anything else will not be master of my life because I belong to Jesus. I am His. And His authority is the only one that matters, is the only one that counts, because it is the only one that will stand. So church, let's take Him at His word. Let's take Jesus at His word. That's the love we had at first. Jesus declared that our sins were forgiven, and we believed Him. Jesus declared that He would never leave us or forsake us, and we believed Him. Jesus declared that no matter what type of storm we had to endure in this life, He would always be with us. And boy, we believed Him. May we continue to do so. May we continue to trust our Lord and Savior, and may we only submit ourselves to His authority. That's the love we had at first. Let's go ahead to the next story, down to verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him, and He went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that He was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind Him at His feet weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, isn't that great? He said to Himself, and Jesus just answers Him. I love that. Simon, I have something to say to you. And He said, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, well, I guess the one to whom he canceled the larger debt. Jesus said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Now, let's just, before we finish it, let's just look what happens. This is a Pharisee's house. He invites Jesus into his home, and he does not offer him any of the blessings that a homeowner would naturally offer to any guest. He doesn't allow him to wash his feet. Well, granted, that was a servant's job, but he didn't even let one of his servants wash the feet of Jesus. He didn't greet him with a kiss. Now, I know as squeamish as we are, that was just how you did it. You greeted each other with a kiss. Someone came in your home, hey, welcome to the house. Even the European style, I guess, one on each cheek. And Jesus said, you didn't do that. Someone comes into your home, you have a responsibility to bless them, to anoint them with oil. It's cooling, it's refreshing because they're out in the sun, it's hot out there, and so you can anoint their head and just give them that relief. And it's also a way to offer blessing to your guest. Thank you for coming to my house. May you be blessed in what you do. And he gives Jesus none of this. None of it. So look what Jesus says. She has wet my feet with her tears. Oh, sorry. 47. Here we go. 47. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This woman knows that she is not worthy of Jesus. She knows it. This is the Son of God. And I have done things that I don't want mentioned. I have done things that I'm ashamed of. I have done things that other people know about and are ashamed of. But she didn't hide. She didn't hide. She went to Jesus. She shamefully humbles herself before Jesus. She showers him with affection. She washes his feet. She kisses his feet. She anoints his feet. You see, compared to Simon, she knows how much she needs forgiveness. And because she knows how much she needs the mercy of God, she is willing to love so much. Isn't it strange that at some point our Christian faith comes about making sure we look right and act right and seem right? I mean, we're just, that's just embarrassing. Outward shows of emotion, tears, humility. Oh. Church, Jesus says, you better find the love you had at first. And all of us, when we realize how much we have been forgiven, we can't help but love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can't help but love our neighbor. That's the love we had at first. That's the love we had at first. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from my sins. Over time, I've been walking in the light so long, I don't really sin that much anymore. So that salvation and that mercy, one time, yeah, I really needed it, but today, yeah. I mean, at best, me and Christ are like 50-50. I'm carrying as much weight here as he is. I'm doing my part. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the steps of Jesus. So, you know, it's just newer to Kevin. It's understandable that he has a broken heart. It's understandable that the good news of Jesus causes him to be emotional. Well, someday, Kevin will become like me. Stoic. Stable. Non-emotional. Somewhat robotic in my faith. Pray that it never be. Pray that it never be. Church, it's embarrassing how unembarrassed we are in our actions toward Jesus. We sit still. We're quiet when we're supposed to be quiet. We sing when we're supposed to sing. We turn the pages or click our phones. We show up at the assembled time. We release most of the time. And it's just so we greet each other in respectable ways. We talk to each other and tell respectable stories. And it's just so respectable. And yet I see this woman who knows what Jesus is offering. And I see this woman who knows herself better than anybody else. And I see that she is willing to be shameless in his presence. I see her pour out her heart in gratitude and thanksgiving. I just want to be where you are. Where do you think he is? Four-part harmony school? Or the throne of God? Where do you think he is? Where do you think it is that we're asking to be? In 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. John writes, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Look, if we walk in the light, that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not going to sin. It doesn't mean we're not going to miss the mark. We are walking with Jesus. We are walking in his light, holding hands in his arms, footstep for footstep, however you imagine it. You are walking with Jesus. And of course, time spent with Jesus means that we are going to be spending less and less time in the dark. But we cannot fool ourselves as to think that we have no sin to be forgiven. We must remember the sins that we had in the past. Yes, we're not in those anymore. We are not paying the price for our life of sin and death. But we remember them because we remember where Jesus found us when he saved us. And that keeps us in our first love. And we also remember to take our own sin seriously. That we do not pride ourselves in the fact that we haven't murdered anyone or cheated on our spouse. We have harsh words. We hurt feelings. We are less than faithful. We choose the easy way to even be silent when Jesus is looking at us to just stand up and speak for him. We do all these things and then come together saying it was a pretty good week. I was pretty good this week. Recognition of our sinfulness keeps us humble and thankful. That's what our first love looks like. Humble and thankful. The next story, Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Luke chapter 8, 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. I love that. Jesus crosses the water, he gets out of his boat, and the welcome committee is a man with demons. You know, like he had the hiccups or something. A man who had demons. For a long time he wore no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. That is a great chamber of commerce. You come to a new city, this is the welcoming party. All right. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. They begged him to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus. They found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I'm picking up something that Luke's putting out there. You picking that up? All these followers are where? At the feet of Jesus. So there's that. Verse 36, and those who had seen it told him how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Hey, you remember when you were a brand new Christian and all you could imagine was, Jesus is so good and heaven is so awesome. Why, now that I'm saved, why don't I just go and be with him now? I mean, why live anymore? Why not? It's better to be dead. It's better to be with him. The Apostle Paul said it, right? It's better to be dead. Of course it's better. It's better to be in the presence of God. It's better to have our work done. It's better to be at rest with the Lord than it is toiling day after day. It gets hard down here. Of course it's better to be with the Lord. And that's what this man does. This man has all of his demons. He is healed of his demons. Now, did you notice something? Verse 31. Yeah, verse 31. Just so you know and you're aware, and you might want to share this with people, guess what? Demons don't even want to be in hell. Demons don't even want to be in hell. We might ought to take it seriously. And this man says, Jesus, I just want to be where you are. Right? Isn't that what he asks? I am so grateful for what you have done for me. Let me go with you. Take me with you. I just want to be where you are. All this can end. I'm saved, so let the world burn around me. Who cares? I got Jesus. And Jesus, of course, says, you're absolutely right. Get on this boat and let's sail out of here. Not what happens, is it? Uh-uh. He says, no. No, you see, when you're completely head over heels in love with me, when your heart is filled with thankfulness and gratitude, you are the best spokesman to go out and tell everyone what I have done for you. Go do that. That's what I need you to do. Now, for all of us sitting here comfortably this morning and saying to ourselves, wow, I'm glad Michael hasn't mentioned me once yet this morning. I still have my first love. Head over heels for Jesus. Oh, gets us with this story, doesn't he? Declare the glories and the mercies that God has done for us. He got us, didn't he? Because I know all of us this last week, we spent all of our energy declaring how good God is. We couldn't find a single thing to gripe and complain about because the only thing on our tongues and mouths was the glory of God and all the wonderful things He's done for us. We shared with 15 different people this week how good it is to be forgiven of our sins. What is a sin, you say? Well, you know what a sin you is. Well, you know what a sin is. It's when you miss the mark. It's when you don't do right. It's when you don't walk in the light. And all of us need to have our sins forgiven. Or guess what? We're going to go to the place that the demons don't even want to go to. You see, that's what first love does. Kind of excited. Ladies, do you remember your engagement ring? Oh, this thing? Why? Because you couldn't wait to tell everybody. Right? Ooh, look what he did. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. Here's my good news. How's your mom and them? Doesn't matter. Look. This is my good news. This is all that matters. You haven't asked me about this yet. I've been waiting. Nothing. I've been breakdancing over here. I've been getting nothing. That's first love. That's first love. Do you know what Jesus has done for me? Yeah, but it's been so long. Has it? Has it though? Has it been so long? Do not lose your first love and forget what it feels like for Jesus to reach out and choose you and save you from your sin and then give you every blessing He has to offer. I had Kevin read for us Ephesians chapter 1 because I wanted to end this morning where we began. We began in Revelation chapter 2, him talking to Ephesus. But we're going to end where it all began, which is Ephesians chapter 1. Same church. Let's take a look. I want you to hear Paul recount the blessings that we have received in Jesus Christ. Just to name a few. In verse 3. Of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God, through Jesus, has given us everything He has to offer in His place. It's not even fair that I'm going to continue reading, is it? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in His place. Every spiritual blessing. Or you and I are like, well, I want it now. Why can't He just bless me with every spiritual? Why can't He bless me with every blessing now? Why can't I have it here? Why can't I have it now? Well, the Bible makes it pretty clear that everything that happens here, what happens to it? Yeah. It gets polluted. It gets tainted. Sin creeps in and does its thing. So we might want to be happy that our reward is kept safe with Him. And that's where all of His blessings are. That's why we live by faith. It's why we believe. It's why we trust. It's why we endure. It's why we continue to love Him like we did on day one. Verse 5, adoption to Himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 8, making known to us the mystery of His will. Jesus has let us in on the great secret that He is going to unite all things in heaven and earth. He's bringing them together, and we are the first fruits of all of that. Instead of our incessant, how long, O Lord, must I live uncomfortably among these sinful wretches? Why are we not crying out, Lord, send me to somebody new today so I can tell them how excited I am for what You've done for me? When did the prayer of the church come about us and our comfort? Why must we suffer so, Lord? There is illness, and there is disease, and there is trouble, and there is lack of resources, and there is twisted leadership. Why must we suffer, though, Lord? Why? Doesn't sound like praise, does it? It does not. And I'm pretty sure, to Him, doesn't feel like praise either. You ever tell your kid to stop whining? Incessantly? Nobody likes to hear whining. It doesn't quit. You entertain it, what does it do? Reinforces bad behavior. Right? Yeah. See, Jesus has let us in on a little secret, the mystery of His will. In Him, in verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. We've received an inheritance. It's ours. It's got our name on it. It's got our name on it. Verse 13, we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee until we receive all of His spiritual blessings. Church, when you died to yourself, when you made Christ Jesus your Lord, your Master, you said, all right, Jesus, I'll accept your deal. I'll give you death. I'll give you sin. I'll give you my will. I take your forgiveness. I take your salvation. I take your Holy Spirit. I take your promises. It's a deal. And the Holy Spirit, what we received at our baptism, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, is the thing that Jesus gave us to let us know that all the rest of it is just as true. So, here's a question I want to leave you with this morning. Has God done enough in Jesus Christ to convince you to stay in love with Him your whole life? Has God done enough through Jesus Christ to keep you excited about the relationship that he has blessed you to be a part of. See, that's an amen question, but you know, we'll work on that. I think he has. I think he has, church. And it's important and it's necessary to say out loud, because those who don't, those who let go of their first love, those who just follow the rules and go through the motions and stand up for what's right and yet don't love Jesus the way they used to, he says, I don't really want you. You better repent. All right? I guess he's kind of serious. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So, be shameless in your gratitude for him. Be excited to get out and tell everybody what you have witnessed. Trust Jesus more than anything else. That's what it looks like. May we never lose the love we had at first. Let's stand together and sing.
148, number 148. I keep falling in love with him. Over.
Morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. A few announcements. A friend of Brooks, Bryce Mueller, is in the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They airlifted him to San Antonio. And what did you? Oh, that's your cousin. Oh, her cousin is the one that went. Okay, I got that written down. Okay, but anyway, we want to keep him in our prayers. Also, EJ has a case of the hives, and so we want to keep EJ and Chester and Charlie in our prayers. Also, Brother Kevin tore a muscle in the back of his leg, so we pray for healing there. Also, the jar of money sitting back here on the table in the foyer. This morning is the last time, if you want to donate, this money will go towards the children's home. And it doesn't have to be just pocket change. It can be folding money or whatever. But this morning is the last time to donate that. And then also, remember Mom and Dad's having their anniversary tomorrow. And, of course, I got to thinking about what Michael said, and I had to think for me. I said, Steve's going to be 68. Linda, Cindy, Lori, I'm 30. Yeah, 69, that's right. Has anybody got anything else needs to be mentioned? Dale? Okay. Donna?
I have a friend that I've known since I was in the sixth grade. Her name is Judy. And she called me yesterday and let me know that she may have female cancer. And she'll know within a day or two, but she just really wanted prayers. Because her husband has passed away. She's widowed. And her kids are grown.
Okay. Anything else? Lauren?
Tuesday is
what's
his birthday.
All right, Tuesday. All right. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come before you today thanking you for this time that we can gather as children of yours and sing praises to your great and holy name. Father, we ask that you just go with us as we leave this place, and not just today, but every day, Father, to glorify you. Father, at this time we pray that you will be with those that are sick that are mentioned. We ask that you be with Lacey's cousin, with Brooke's friend, with EJ, with Kevin, with Judy. Father, we ask that you just watch over them, that you will heal them of their illnesses. Father, we ask that you be with those that lost loved ones, that you comfort and strengthen them. Go with us always and forgive us when we fail you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.